The story of Jacob begins with his birth, an event filled with meaning and a foreshadowing of his future. Imagine a quiet night in the desert, the stars shining in the sky, when suddenly the sound of childbirth echoes in the tent of Isaac and Rebekah. Jacob was born as the second son of Isaac and Rebekah, grandson of Abraham. From the beginning, Jacob's life was marked by struggle, literally. He was born grasping the heel of his twin brother Esau, an act that already indicated his competitive and determined nature. Rebekah, his mother, received a prophecy from God that said, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." Genesis 25, verse 23. This prophecy was not just a glimpse of the future, but a warning about the intense rivalry that would arise between the brothers. The choice of names was also symbolic. Esau means hairy, a direct reference to his appearance at birth, while Jacob means he who grasps the heel or deceiver, foreshadowing the complexity of his character and destiny. Jacob's life would not be easy. From the moment he took his first breath, he was destined for a journey full of challenges, but also great promises. The struggle for his brother's heel was just the beginning of a series of events that would shape not only his life, but the destiny of an entire people. Each step of Jacob would be a combination of faith, determination, and sometimes deception as he sought the blessing promised by God. Imagine Rebekah watching her sons grow up, knowing the complicated future that awaited them. Every fight between Jacob and Esau, every look of disdain, was a reminder of the divine prophecy. Rebekah, with a heart full of love and concern, knew she would need to guide Jacob wisely so that he could reach the promised destiny. The growing tension in the family, the rivalry between the brothers, all prepared the stage for the dramatic events that would follow. As Jacob and Esau grew up, their differences became more evident. Esau, a robust and impulsive hunter, was Isaac's favorite, while Jacob, introspective and cunning, spent more time in the tents with Rebekah. This difference in personalities was not just a matter of parental preference, but a foreshadowing of the conflicts that would define their lives. Once, Esau returned exhausted from hunting. Imagine him, sweaty and famished, smelling the tempting lentil stew that Jacob was cooking. The delicious aroma filled the air, and Esau, without thinking of the consequences, begged Jacob for some of that stew. Jacob, always calculating, saw the perfect opportunity. "First sell me your birthright," he said. Esau, hungry and impulsive, replied, "Look, I'm about to die. What good is the birthright to me?" Genesis 25, verse 32. Without hesitation, he swore to Jacob and sold his birthright for a simple bowl of lentils. This moment was not just a simple transaction, it was a turning point. Esau despised his birthright, a symbol of his future and heritage, while Jacob demonstrated his shrewdness and determination to obtain the blessing he believed was rightfully his. This seemingly trivial exchange would be the catalyst for a series of events that would change the course of their lives. For Esau, it was a moment of weakness that would define his future. For Jacob, it was confirmation that he was willing to do anything to secure his place in the blessed lineage. The tension in the family only increased, and Rebekah, ever watchful, knew that this act by Jacob had profound implications. Every shared meal, every exchanged glance, was now laden with a weight that would only grow over time. One of the most dramatic moments in Jacob's life was the episode where, with his mother Rebekah's help, he deceived his father Isaac to receive the blessing intended for Esau. Imagine a dark tent where the soft light of a lamp illuminates the aged face of Isaac, now blind and vulnerable. Isaac, sensing his end was near, called Esau and asked him to prepare a savory meal, after which he would give his final blessing. Rebekah, overhearing the conversation, quickly devised a plan. She knew the blessing was crucial for Jacob's future and could not leave it to chance. With a racing heart, she called Jacob and explained the plan. He would impersonate Esau to receive the blessing. Jacob, initially hesitant, was convinced by his mother. Rebecca prepared a delicious meal with two goats and dressed Jacob in Esau's clothes, covering his hands and neck with goat skins to mimic his brother's hairy skin. Jacob, trembling with nervousness, entered his father's tent. "Who are you, my son?" Isaac asked. "I am Esau, your firstborn," Jacob replied, his voice trembling slightly. Isaac, suspicious, asked Jacob to come closer so he could touch him. Feeling the hairy skin, Isaac was convinced, though the voice still sounded like Jacob's. After eating the meal, Isaac blessed Jacob, granting him prosperity and dominion over his brothers. This profound deception caused an irrevocable rift in the family. When Esau discovered it, his rage was intense. He vowed to kill Jacob, forcing him to flee for his life. This act of deception marked the beginning of a long and arduous journey for Jacob, a journey filled with challenges, divine encounters, and personal growth. Rebecca, knowing the consequences of her actions, watched her beloved son leave, uncertain if she would ever see him again. After the dramatic deception of Isaac and the subsequent stolen blessing, Jacob found himself forced to flee to save his life. Esau's wrath was palpable, promising vengeance and leaving Jacob no choice but to depart quickly. Imagine Jacob, a young man on the run, the vast and desolate desert stretching before him, fear and uncertainty weighing on his heart. His mother, Rebecca, had advised him to seek refuge with his uncle Laban in Haran, a long and perilous journey. Jacob's journey was exhausting and filled with reflections. Every step in the desert, every night under the starry sky, he pondered his actions and the consequences that followed. The betrayal he committed against his father and brother not only distanced him from his family, but also placed him in a vulnerable and isolated position. Feeling regretful and anxious, Jacob knew his journey was not just physical, but also spiritual. He needed to find a path of redemption and reaffirm his faith in God's promises. During his solitary journey, Jacob reached a place where he decided to spend the night. Exhausted, he took a stone to use as a pillow and lay on the hard ground, looking up at the starry sky, perhaps feeling lonelier than ever. That night, Jacob had an extraordinary dream that would change his life. He saw a ladder reaching up to heaven, with angels ascending and descending on it. At the top of the ladder stood God himself, who spoke to Jacob, renewing the promise made to Abraham and Isaac. "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying." Genesis 28, verse 13. God promised to be with Jacob, to protect him wherever he went, and to bring him back to this land. This dream was a turning point for Jacob. He awoke with a new determination, feeling a deep connection with the divine. He consecrated the place where he had slept, calling it Bethel, which means house of God. Jacob made a vow, saying that if God were with him and brought him back safely, the Lord would be his God, and he would give God a tenth of everything he received. This spiritual encounter reinforced Jacob's faith and gave him the courage needed to continue his journey to Haran. Jacob's flight was not just a matter of physical survival, but also a spiritual journey. He was leaving a familiar environment where tensions and rivalries were intense for unknown territory, guided only by the divine promise. Every step he took was a test of his faith and resilience. The vision of the ladder with angels ascending and descending was not just a celestial vision, but a confirmation that he was not alone. God was with him even in the darkest and loneliest moments. Upon waking from that profound and revealing dream, Jacob felt a renewal in his spirit. He was not just fleeing from his brother, he was on a journey that God had designed for him. The desert, which had previously seemed vast and empty, was now filled with promises and hope. Each passing day, Jacob remembered the vision and God's promise, finding strength and courage to continue. His faith deepened, and his determination to live according to the divine plan strengthened. This period of flight was thus a crucial moment of growth and transformation for Jacob. He went from being a deceitful young man to a man seeking redemption and divine purpose. God's promise was not just a guarantee of protection and prosperity, but also a call for Jacob to be a figure of faith and leadership. Upon reaching Haran, Jacob was no longer just the younger brother who had deceived his father. He was the bearer of a divine promise that would shape his future and the destiny of his entire lineage. Arriving in Haran, after a long and exhausting journey, Jacob found a well where shepherds were gathered. Among them was Rachel, the daughter of Laban, tending her father's sheep. Imagine the scene. Jacob, still tired and dusty from the trip, sees Rachel for the first time and is immediately captivated by her beauty and grace. The meeting by the well, a classic setting for many biblical romances, marked the beginning of a deep and enduring love. With a gesture of courage and strength, Jacob removed the stone covering the well and watered Rachel's sheep, a sign of his willingness to help and protect. Jacob introduced himself to Rachel, and upon learning that they were relatives, she ran to tell her father, Laban. Laban welcomed Jacob warmly, but quickly realized the value of the young worker. Jacob fell in love with Rachel, and wishing to marry her, offered to work 7 years for Laban in exchange for her hand. The 7 years passed quickly for Jacob because he loved her very much. Genesis 29 verse 20. Each day of hard work was a step closer to being with Rachel, and this love motivated him to give his best in all tasks. However, on the wedding night, Laban deceived Jacob by giving him his older daughter, Leah, instead of Rachel. Imagine Jacob's disappointment and shock when he discovered the deception the next morning when the sun revealed his wife's true identity. Upon confronting Laban, Jacob was informed that in their culture, the older daughter should marry first. Laban then offered Rachel to Jacob on the condition that he work another 7 years. Jacob agreed, driven by the deep love he felt for Rachel. This period of service to Laban was marked by hard work, disappointments, and the growing feeling of being trapped by a cunning and manipulative man. However, Jacob's love for Rachel was unwavering, and he was willing to make any sacrifice to be with her. Jacob's days in Haran were long and exhausting. He worked tirelessly in the fields, tending Laban's flocks. Every task was performed with care and diligence because he knew his future with Rachel depended on it. Although the work was arduous, Jacob found solace in the moments he spent with Rachel. The two shared dreams and hopes, strengthening their bond. Laban, on the other hand, continued to test Jacob's patience and integrity. He constantly changed the terms of the agreement, trying to take advantage of Jacob's dedication. However, Jacob, with his renewed faith and determination, faced each challenge with resilience. He knew that God was with him, guiding each step of his journey. With every trial, Jacob grew in wisdom and strength, becoming a more capable leader and a man of deep faith. Finally, after 14 years of hard work, Jacob was ready to build his own family. He had fulfilled his part of the agreement and was eager to start a new life with Rachel. However, living with Leah also brought complexity to his life. Jacob found himself in the middle of a complicated family dynamic, with two wives and a growing number of children. Each challenge he faced was an opportunity to demonstrate his faith and trust in God's promises. The story of Jacob and Rachel is a testimony of enduring love and unwavering faith. Even in the face of Laban's manipulations and the difficulties of daily life, Jacob remained faithful to his purpose and God's promises. His journey in Haran was marked by personal and spiritual growth, preparing him for future challenges he would encounter upon returning to his homeland. Jacob was no longer just a fugitive. He was a transformed man, ready to lead his family and fulfill the destiny that God had laid out for him. During the time he spent working for Laban, Jacob demonstrated incredible skill in tending the flocks. He prospered even in the face of Laban's repeated attempts to deceive him. Laban changed Jacob's wages 10 times, trying to reduce his earnings. However, Jacob used his intelligence and knowledge to find ways to prosper, showing remarkable resilience and shrewdness. He made a deal with Laban that he would take all the speckled and spotted sheep, while Laban would keep the solid colored ones. This agreement seemed to favor Laban, as speckled and spotted sheep were less common. However, Jacob employed an ingenious breeding technique to ensure that the strongest flocks would be speckled and spotted. He placed peeled branches in the watering troughs during the mating season, and the stronger flocks produced offspring with these characteristics. Through this strategy, Jacob accumulated great wealth with numerous flocks, servants, camels, and donkeys. Jacob's prosperity generated jealousy among Laban's sons, who began to speak ill of him. They saw Jacob's growing wealth as a threat and an injustice, failing to recognize their own greed and manipulation. Sensing the increasing hostility, and after being instructed by God in a dream, Jacob decided it was time to return to his homeland. Jacob knew he needed to act cautiously. He gathered his wives, children, and all his belongings and fled Haran without informing Laban. The escape was risky, but Jacob trusted in God's promise to protect him and bring him back safely. Imagine the tension and fear during this nocturnal flight, with Jacob constantly looking over his shoulder, worried about Laban's reaction. But there was also a sense of hope and determination as he was finally moving towards the fulfillment of the divine promise. During the journey back, Jacob faced several challenges, but his faith never wavered. He knew that each step brought him closer to his homeland and to reuniting with his family. The journey was not just a physical return, but also a path of reconciliation and spiritual renewal. Jacob was determined to right the wrongs of the past and live according to the promises God had made to him. Jacob's wealth, accumulated through his intelligent tactics and hard work, was not just a measure of his material success. It was a testament to his resilience, faith, and ability to overcome adversity. Every flock he owned, every servant who worked for him, was a symbol of his transformation from a deceitful young man to a patriarch blessed by God. Jacob's story in Haran is a powerful lesson about the importance of perseverance, trusting in God, and using wisdom to navigate life's challenges. Finally, as he crossed the borders of his homeland, Jacob knew he was ready to face his destiny. He had undergone a period of great growth and transformation, and was now prepared to lead his family and fulfill the divine purpose that God had set for him. Jacob's journey, full of challenges and triumphs, is an inspiration to all who seek to live according to God's will and achieve the promised blessings. After years of hard work and enrichment in Haran, Jacob knew that returning to his homeland meant facing his brother Esau, whose anger had initially forced him to flee. Imagine the anxiety Jacob felt at the thought of reuniting with Esau. He knew their last encounter had not ended well, and Esau had vowed to kill him. The journey back was both a quest for reconciliation and the fulfillment of divine promises. Jacob's fear was understandable, as he did not know how his brother would react after so many years. Before meeting Esau, Jacob sent messengers ahead with generous gifts, hoping to appease his brother. He sent goats, sheep, camels, cows, and donkeys, dividing them into groups with specific instructions for the messengers. To each group, Jacob instructed them to say, "This is a gift for my lord Esau from your servant Jacob. He is coming behind us." Jacob hoped that this strategy would demonstrate his humility and desire for reconciliation. He divided his group into 2 parts, thinking that if Esau attacked one, the other could escape. Jacob's strategy reveals his deep fear and his ability to think strategically, even in situations of great stress. On the night before meeting Esau, Jacob had a mysterious and transformative encounter. He wrestled with a man until daybreak. This struggle was not just physical, but also spiritual. Jacob was alone at the ford of the Jabbok, having sent his family and all his possessions ahead. In the middle of the night, a man appeared and wrestled with Jacob. The battle lasted all night, and Jacob realized that this man was not ordinary. In the end, the man touched Jacob's hip, dislocating it, but Jacob refused to let go until he received a blessing. The man then revealed himself to be a messenger of God and blessed Jacob, changing his name to Israel, which means he who struggles with God. This event was a milestone in Jacob's life, symbolizing his transformation and spiritual strengthening. He went from being a fearful and deceitful man to one who faced his battles with courage and faith. Finally, the day of the meeting arrived. Jacob, limping from the previous night's struggle, saw Esau approaching with 400 men. Imagine Jacob's heart pounding as he approached his brother, bowing 7 times as a sign of respect and submission. To his surprise and relief, Esau ran to meet him, embracing him and weeping. Esau, whom Jacob feared would be a mortal enemy, showed himself to be a moved brother, eager for reconciliation. Esau's anger had dissipated over time, and he accepted the reconciliation. This reunion was a testament to the power of prayer, humility, and God's ability to transform hearts. Jacob introduced his family to Esau, starting with the maidservants and their children, then Leah and her children, and finally Rachel and Joseph. Esau asked about the gifts, and Jacob insisted that he accept them as a sign of his goodwill. Esau hesitated but finally accepted, sealing the peace between them. This meeting was not only a reconciliation between two brothers, but also a moment of confirmation of God's promises to Jacob. He saw in Esau the work of God, who transformed a potential violent confrontation into a moment of grace and reconciliation. Jacob's reunion with Esau taught him valuable lessons about forgiveness, humility, and the importance of trusting God in all situations. It was a crucial step in Jacob's journey, not only physically back to his homeland, but also spiritually, as a transformed and blessed man by God. After the emotional reunion with Esau, Jacob continued to establish his family in the promised land of Canaan. This stage of his journey was no less challenging. Jacob's family was large and complex, with his wives Leah and Rachel, his concubines Bilhah and Zilpah, and his many children. Each of these family members brought their own dynamics and challenges. The coexistence between the wives and the children generated tensions and disputes, but Jacob sought to manage these relationships with wisdom and patience, aware of the importance of family unity. Jacob bought a piece of land in Shechem, where he built an altar and called it El Elohi Israel, which means God, the God of Israel. This act of establishing an altar was not just a religious gesture, but also a public declaration of Jacob's faithfulness to God and his commitment to the promised land. The altar symbolized the renewed covenant with God and Jacob's gratitude for the blessings received. However, the peace in Shechem was disrupted when Dinah, the daughter of Jacob and Leah, was violated by Shechem, the son of the local ruler. Jacob's sons, especially Simeon and Levi, were furious and plotted revenge. They deceived the inhabitants of Shechem, demanding that all the men be circumcised as a condition for allowing Dinah to marry Shechem. The men of Shechem agreed, wanting to establish alliances with Jacob and his family. However, on the third day after the circumcision, while the men of Shechem were still in pain and vulnerable, Simeon and Levi attacked the city, killing all the men and plundering the city. The brutality of the attack showed the intensity of Jacob's son's fury and the complexity of family relations. Jacob was horrified by his son's violence, fearing reprisals from the neighboring peoples. He rebuked Simeon and Levi for their brutality, but the damage was already done. This event highlighted the internal tensions within Jacob's family and the difficulties of living in a hostile territory. Jacob feared that the neighbors would unite against him and his family, threatening their safety. However, God appeared to Jacob, instructing him to go to Bethel and build an altar there. Jacob obeyed, leading his family to purify themselves and leave behind all foreign idols they possessed. In Bethel, Jacob renewed his covenant with God. He built an altar and named the place El Bethel, remembering the vision of the ladder he had years before. God appeared to Jacob again, reaffirming the promise made to Abraham and Isaac, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will be among your descendants. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you, and I will give this land to your descendants after you." Genesis 35, verses 11 and 12. This renewal of the promise brought comfort and security to Jacob, reinforcing his faith and trust in God. Despite the challenges and tensions, Jacob and his family settled in Canaan. Life in Canaan was marked by highs and lows, but Jacob's faith remained firm. He knew that the journey was not yet over and that many challenges were still to come. However, God's promise was his anchor, guiding and sustaining him at all times. Jacob continued to lead his family with wisdom and faith, always trusting in God's promises for the future. As Jacob continued his journey in Canaan, he faced one of the greatest tragedies of his life, the death of his beloved wife, Rachel. Rachel was pregnant, and during the journey she went into labor. Imagine Jacob by her side, holding her hand, praying fervently for her safety and the baby's. Jacob's caravan moved slowly, and Rachel's pain increased. The tension was palpable, with everyone aware of the gravity of the situation. Rachel gave birth to a son, but her strength was gone. With her last breath, she named the boy Benoni, meaning son of my sorrow. However, Jacob, in his deep grief, changed the boy's name to Benjamin, meaning son of my right hand, symbolizing his hope and love for his son, even in the midst of loss. Rachel's death was a devastating blow to Jacob, as she was the great love of his life and the woman for whom he had worked so many years. Rachel was buried on the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem, and Jacob erected a pillar over her tomb, a monument that remained for many years. Rachel's loss brought great sorrow to the family, but also united Jacob and his children in their shared grief. Benjamin, the youngest son, became a symbol of Jacob's enduring love for Rachel and the hope for a future promised by God. Even in the face of such sorrow, Jacob continued to trust in God. He knew that his journey was not just about reaching the promised land, but also about learning to depend on God in all circumstances. Jacob's faith was tested and strengthened through the trials he faced, and he emerged as a wiser and more compassionate leader for his family. Rachel's death was a moment of deep sadness, but also of reflection for Jacob. He recognized the fragility of life and the importance of cherishing each moment with his loved ones. Jacob's life was full of challenges, but he found comfort in God's presence and the promise that his legacy would continue through his children. Each challenge brought Jacob closer to God, trusting him to guide his family and fulfill his promises. Jacob's journey in Canaan was marked by highs and lows, but he remained faithful to God. Rachel's loss was one of the most difficult moments of his life, but it was also a moment of renewed faith. Jacob knew that despite the difficulties, God was with him and that his promises would be fulfilled. He continued to lead his family with wisdom and compassion, guided by faith and hope in the future promised by God. Jacob's life, full of challenges and triumphs, is a testament to the power of faith and perseverance. His journey from birth to death is an inspiration to all who seek to live according to God's will and achieve the promised blessings. Jacob's story is a powerful reminder that even in the most difficult moments, God is present, guiding and blessing those who trust in him. Jacob's life in Canaan continued to be a scene of highs and lows, but one of the most dramatic stories involved his favorite son, Joseph. From a young age, Joseph was the target of Jacob's special love, which caused jealousy and resentment among his brothers. Imagine Joseph, a young dreamer, wearing the coat of many colors that Jacob had given him, a visible symbol of his father's favoritism. This open preference fueled deep resentment among Joseph's brothers, creating a tension that would only increase over time. Joseph, a noble young man, had prophetic dreams that further angered his brothers. In one dream, he saw sheaves of wheat bowing down to his sheaf. In another, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowed down to him. Joseph, innocent and perhaps a bit naive, shared these dreams with his family, which only inflamed his brothers' hatred. They interpreted the dreams as a premonition that Joseph would rule over them, something they could not accept. The opportunity for Joseph's brothers to act came when Jacob sent Joseph to check on his brothers and the flocks in Dothan. When the brothers saw Joseph approaching, they conspired to kill him. "Here comes that dreamer," they said. "Let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." Genesis 37 verses 19 and 20. However, Reuben, the eldest brother, intervened, suggesting they not kill Joseph, but throw him into a dry cistern, secretly intending to rescue him later. The brothers agreed, and when Joseph arrived, they stripped him of his colorful coat and threw him into the cistern. While they were eating, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites approaching. Judah suggested they sell Joseph to the Ishmaelites, arguing that this way they wouldn't have his blood on their hands. The brothers agreed and sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. They stained Joseph's coat with goat blood and brought it back to Jacob, who, upon seeing it, concluded that a wild animal had killed his beloved son. Imagine Jacob's pain and despair as he saw the bloodied coat, believing he had lost Joseph forever. "It is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." Genesis 37 verse 33. The loss of Joseph was a devastating blow to Jacob, who entered into deep mourning, refusing to be comforted. "I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave," he said. Jacob's sorrow affected the entire family, but he never lost the silent hope that somehow Joseph might still be alive. Meanwhile, Joseph was taken to Egypt, where his life took a series of dramatic turns. The sale of Joseph was a crucial moment in Jacob's life and his family's story, triggering a series of events that would eventually lead to the preservation and prosperity of the nation of Israel. Jacob's faith was tested once again, but he maintained his trust in God, believing that somehow the divine promises would be fulfilled. Years passed, and famine struck the land of Canaan and beyond, forcing Jacob to take desperate measures to save his family. The news that there was grain in Egypt led Jacob to send his sons, except for Benjamin, to buy food. Imagine Jacob's worry as he sent his sons on a dangerous and uncertain journey, especially after losing Joseph. Jacob did not know that this decision would trigger a series of events that would reunite his family in a surprising way. Upon arriving in Egypt, Joseph's brothers found themselves before the governor of the land, who, unbeknownst to them, was their brother Joseph. Joseph immediately recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. He treated them harshly, accusing them of being spies. To test his brothers and see if they had changed, Joseph demanded they bring their youngest brother, Benjamin, as proof of their honesty. He kept Simeon as a hostage and sent the others back with grain, but secretly returned their money in their sacks. When the brothers returned to Canaan and told Jacob what had happened, he was dismayed. The idea of sending Benjamin to Egypt filled him with fear. "You have deprived me of my children. Joseph is no more, Simeon is no more, and now you want to take Benjamin. Everything is against me." Genesis 42 verse 36. However, the famine persisted, and eventually the need for food forced Jacob to allow Benjamin to go to Egypt, trusting in Judah's promise to guarantee the young boy's safety. When Joseph's brothers returned to Egypt with Benjamin, Joseph organized a banquet for them, treating them kindly, but still keeping his identity a secret. He tested his brothers again by placing a silver cup in Benjamin's sack and then accusing him of theft. When the brothers were brought back and confronted with the accusation, Judah pleaded for Benjamin, offering himself in his place. This act of sacrifice showed Joseph that his brothers had changed and were now willing to protect one another, Overcome with emotion, Joseph finally revealed his identity to his brothers. "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" Genesis 45, verse 3. Imagine the surprise and shock of the brothers when they realized that the governor of Egypt was indeed their brother, whom they had sold into slavery. Joseph comforted them, telling them not to be distressed for selling him, because God had sent him ahead to preserve life. "God sent me ahead of you to preserve a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Genesis 45, verse 7. Joseph asked his brothers to return to Canaan and bring their entire family to Egypt, where he could care for them during the remaining years of famine. When the brothers returned to Jacob and told him all that had happened, he was initially incredulous, but then overcome with joy. "I am convinced. My son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die." Genesis 45, verse 28. The journey to Egypt was one of renewed hope and the restoration of a divided family. The reunion of Jacob with Joseph was a moment of indescribable joy and emotional healing. Imagine Jacob, an old man weakened by years of mourning and hardship, traveling with his family to Egypt, a place of new hopes. When Jacob and his family arrived in Goshen, Joseph went to meet his father. Seeing him, Joseph threw his arms around Jacob's neck and wept for a long time. Jacob, through tears of joy, said, "Now I am ready to die, since I have seen for myself that you are still alive." Genesis 46, verse 30. Moving to Egypt was not just a physical relocation, but also a spiritual and emotional transition for Jacob and his family. They settled in the fertile region of Goshen, an area suitable for grazing, where they could prosper under Joseph's protection. Joseph's presence in Egypt ensured that Jacob's family received favorable treatment and abundance amid the devastating famine. Joseph introduced his brothers and father to Pharaoh, who welcomed them and granted them the best part of the land. Jacob, now secure and with his family reunited, spent his last years in peace. He lived in Egypt for 17 years, witnessing the prosperity and growth of his descendants. During this time, he reconnected deeply with Joseph, sharing stories, memories, and wisdom accumulated over a life full of challenges. Jacob was able to see his grandsons, Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and bless them, ensuring that God's promise continued through the generations. However, Jacob's life was nearing its end. Sensing his days were numbered, Jacob called for Joseph and asked him for a solemn favor: to be buried with his fathers in Canaan, in the family tomb. Joseph promised to fulfill his father's wish. Then Jacob gathered his sons to give them his final blessings, each filled with deep and prophetic meanings. He spoke about the future of each son, predicting their lives and the tribes that would come from them. Jacob blessed Ephraim and Manasseh as if they were his own sons, ensuring them an equal share of the inheritance among his sons. He crossed his hands, placing his right hand on Ephraim, the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh, the elder, despite Joseph's objection. Jacob insisted, saying that Ephraim would be greater than Manasseh, an act reflecting the recurring theme of reversed expectations in Jacob's life. Finally, Jacob called all his sons and pronounced his blessings and prophecies over each of them. His words for each son were full of wisdom and insight, reflecting the character and destiny of each one. For Judah, he predicted leadership and royalty. For Joseph, he spoke of fruitfulness and prosperity. For the others, his words ranged from promises of strength to warnings of difficulties. After blessing his sons, Jacob instructed them to bury him in the cave of Machpelah, where Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rebekah, and Leah were buried. He reaffirmed his desire to rest beside his ancestors, ensuring that the connection to the promised land was maintained. After giving these instructions, Jacob lay down, and surrounded by his sons, he passed away. Jacob's death was a moment of sadness, but also a celebration of a life full of faith and fulfillment of divine promises. Jacob's death marked the end of an era for his family, but also a moment of profound reflection and renewal of faith in God's promises. After his death, Joseph threw himself upon his father, wept over him, and kissed him. Joseph ordered the physicians in his service to embalm his father's body, a process that took 40 days, following Egyptian customs. During this period, the entire nation of Egypt mourned for Jacob for 70 days, a testament to the respect and honor that Joseph had earned in Egypt. After the mourning period, Joseph sought Pharaoh's permission to fulfill his father's wish to be buried in Canaan. Pharaoh, recognizing the importance of this desire, allowed Joseph to leave with a large entourage. Imagine the imposing funeral procession with chariots and horsemen taking Jacob back to the promised land. The entourage included not only Jacob's family, but also Egyptian dignitaries, reflecting Jacob's importance and the respect Joseph had cultivated. When they arrived at the cave of Machpelah, the ancestral burial site, Jacob was laid to rest with full honors. The cave, purchased by Abraham as a burial place, now housed not only him, but also Sarah, Isaac, Rebekah, and Leah. This sacred place symbolized the continuity of God's covenant with the patriarchs and the certainty that the promise of a great nation was being fulfilled. Jacob's burial was not just an act of filial duty, but also a moment of faith renewal for his sons. They remembered their father's words and God's promises. Each of Jacob's sons carried the responsibility of continuing the legacy of faith and leadership, ensuring that future generations would remember God's promises and remain faithful to them. After the burial, Joseph and his brothers returned to Egypt. However, Joseph's brothers feared that now that Jacob was dead, Joseph might seek revenge for the wrong they had done to him. They sent a message to Joseph, saying that before Jacob died, he had asked Joseph to forgive his brothers. Joseph wept when he received the message, and his brothers came and threw themselves before him, offering to be his servants. Joseph, with a magnanimous heart, comforted them, saying, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." Genesis 50, verses 19 to 21. Joseph's words were not just a forgiveness, but a reaffirmation that God was in control and used difficult circumstances for a greater purpose. Joseph's life in Egypt continued, and he lived to the age of 110, seeing the third generation of Ephraim's children and the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh. Before his death, Joseph made the Israelites swear to carry his bones out of Egypt when God came to their aid and brought them back to the promised land. He reaffirmed God's promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, strengthening his family's hope and faith in God's faithfulness. Jacob's legacy did not end with his death. It lived on through his sons and the nation of Israel that emerged from them. Each of Jacob's 12 sons became the patriarch of one of the tribes of Israel, and their stories and lineages are fundamental to the biblical narrative and the history of the Jewish people. Jacob's journey, full of challenges, triumphs, and moments of deep faith, is a testament to God's transformative power and divine faithfulness to his promises. Reuben, the firstborn, despite losing his birthright due to impulsive acts, still played an important role in Israel's history. Simeon and Levi, whose actions in Shechem showed their ferocity, also stood out, although in complex ways. Judah, from whose tribe the royal lineage of David and eventually Jesus Christ would come, had a journey of redemption and leadership. Joseph, Jacob's favorite son, became a central figure not only in his family's story, but also in the history of Egypt and Israel. His ability to interpret dreams and his administrative skills saved countless lives during the famine. Joseph's example of forgiveness and unwavering faith in God inspired generations and continues to be a model of virtue and resilience. Jacob's other sons, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, and Benjamin, each contributed to the formation of the nation of Israel, with their tribes settling in different parts of the promised land. The diversity and unique characteristics of each tribe reflected the complexity and richness of God's people, united under the divine covenant. Jacob's impact extended beyond his lifetime. The nation of Israel, formed by the 12 tribes, became a powerful entity in the region, known for its faith in Yahweh, their God. Jacob and his son's story is frequently mentioned in sacred texts, hymns, and oral traditions, preserving their memory and teachings through the centuries. Besides the immediate impact on Israel's formation, Jacob's legacy has profound theological implications. He is often remembered as a patriarch who struggled with God and with men and prevailed. His life exemplifies how God can use imperfect people to fulfill his perfect purposes. Jacob's story is a testament to the power of grace and divine redemption. Jacob's influence is also reflected in Israel's religious celebrations and festivals. Many of the traditions and laws given to Moses and the people of Israel at Mount Sinai have their roots in the lives and teachings of the patriarchs, including Jacob. Jacob's commitment to God and his determination to follow the divine will serve as models for religious observance and the spiritual life of the Israelites.